We begin this morning. We have been looking at a series called Didn't See It Coming, and it's by a book. The author's name is Carrie Neufeld, Newhoff. And this one is about emptiness. So it kind of talks, last week Pastor Les was talking about burnout, and he touched a bit on depression. And this week we're going to be talking about emptiness. So if you can turn with me to a great book of the Bible, it's Ecclesiastes. Some of you might have to look at the front pages to find out where is Ecclesiastes in the Bible. It's kind of a hard book, but it is in the Old Testament. And if you find Psalms, then Proverbs, then you'll find Ecclesiastes. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is talking about the search for meaning. What is the search for meaning in life? And the author knows that true happiness only comes from trusting God and following his commands, and yet he still searches. It works. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. Meaningless. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. That is in the Bible. Did that surprise you? Yeah. Basically, what he's saying is there is nothing good in life. So, like, what are we here for? What's my legacy if everything's meaningless? Well, I guess nothing. Well, innovation, what's it good for? Like, well, did you know that in verse 2, the word meaningless occurs 38 times in this book of Ecclesiastes? Meaningless. Yeah, in the Bible. Well, another word for meaningless is emptiness. Man cannot rest content with a meaningless existence. There resides within him an irresistible urge to find meaning. I bet a lot of people would agree with that. If you don't understand something, you want to understand why, right? It becomes like a quest or a search. Why is it like this? So this author, or this, the King Solomon is the teacher that's being referred to here in this book. And he's looking at what is meaningless, life. He's saying emptiness is like looking down a bottomless pit. If we were to look at some headlines from the newspaper this week that have included the word empty in it, here's what we'd read. There was a search for a missing woman, but it comes up empty. Fuel truck drivers in Portugal raise specter of empty filling stations. What in 10 shops now empty as high street slump hits four-year high? A Zimbabwe businessman says, my shelves are empty. And there's a blog, it's talking about running on empty. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of hope in newspapers, especially surrounding that word, empty. Well, I want to talk to you today about something that maybe you've never heard of. It's called nihilism. And nihilism is a worldview that there is no God. There is denial of or lack of belief in the meaningful aspects of life. And most commonly, nihilism argues that life is without objective meaning, purpose, or intrinsic value. In some aspect, knowledge is not possible, or reality does not actually exist. Interesting. Well, basically what it's saying is, if there's no God, there's no meaning, and there's no purpose, and there's no significance to life, then why should we bother? I know, kind of depressing this morning to talk about these things. Hold on. So I dug a little further. My friend Wikipedia, right, young adults? We love Wikipedia. It suggests that when we think of terms like modernity in culture, so so modernism, we must understand that it is a culture characterized by constant change in the pursuit of progress. Postmoderns feel that constant change has become the status quo, and the notion of progress, it's obsolete. So their thought is, what are we really gaining? If I put it a different way, postmoderns feel that progress in life and constant change, it's so antiquated. Tradition, oh, so not necessary. Did I do that good? So not necessary. Freedom and being your own person is where it's at. You know, just do what you want. Be who you want to be. Sound familiar? In the book we are studying, Didn't See It Coming, he says that empty is a feeling. He usually experiences the emptiness feeling right after a peak. So things are going really super awesome, and then surprisingly afflicts and affects successful people. He says that emptiness in life is more intense in success than it is in failure. Because you know what? When you fail, you have nowhere to go but up. But when you're up and you've done all that what others have only dreamed of doing and you still don't feel great, well, then where do you go? Well, what's next? Well, what's the outcome then? Some of you, it may feel that, man, I'm missing out on something in life. There's got to be just that thing. There's going to be something, and you're trying to put your finger on it, but you can't figure it out yet. Isn't there something more to this life? Shouldn't I change, and maybe I should try and live more on the edge? Depressing? Yeah, maybe. What about your life? Does your life seem kind of boring right now? Well, not too long ago, the order in life went like this. So you reach early adulthood, youth, then you go to become a young adult, and well, that's when we kind of get our wild side on, right? It's kind of allowed in those years, just saying. Really, it's not, okay? So don't listen to that, Ashley. Sorry, that was just a side note for my daughter, but you can listen in. But when you reach adulthood, people think, okay, yeah, you know, they can be a little wild for a while. They'll get it out of their system. How many have heard that? But then they go to school, they go to university or college, they start their trade, and then it's time to grow up, right? You've had enough, you've done enough, you've sowed your seeds. It's time to get serious. And my picture went off. Okay. Oh, we're okay. So you get a job, and you get married, you have children. But is that really the order in life nowadays? The order is different because there's later marriages. Sometimes there's better jobs at earlier ages. And we have media that promotes adventure, and so that the settling down seems so much less desirable. What do I want to settle down for? I've still got life to live. There's that adventurous spirit, right? Culture says that settling down is boring and adventure is much more fun. Not everybody would agree with that. But a lot of people think like this. It's once I reach a certain place or achieve a certain thing, life will truly start to happen. And finally, I'll be happy and whole. How many have ever thought that way? Come on. No? Once I get that job, I'm going to have that money to buy that beautiful car. Or once my kids get past the diaper stage, it's going to be awesome. Right? Yeah, now you're getting what I'm talking about. Once I made that next promotion in my job, Life's going to be sweet. It's going to be awesome. Once I pass that test. But it doesn't ever happen that way, does it? Well, you graduate, but what about that amazing job? It doesn't always come to you. Like, what? Young adults, when you get through university and college, I pray the first job you start, like, it's going to be awesome, it's going to be great, it's going to be what you want. But guess what? Sometimes you don't get the first job. And sometimes you have to do a lot of things at your first job that you think, what? Why are they asking me to do that? Like, I'm better than that. Suck it up. It will get better. Right? Okay. Or what about when you get married? You find the one. And you start your family together, and life is awesome. But you know what? And it's not just me, okay? Like, I don't want you to think that Steve and I have a bad marriage. We have an awesome marriage. We have good kids, okay? But I'm just, you're right? Okay, I'm painting the picture. So you start your family, but there's something in the back of your mind that says, huh, is there something more? I thought raising kids was going to be a lot of fun all the time. Like, I thought we would have date night, like, almost at least 5 nights a week. Like, come on. Right? You were thinking this. Not just me. Come on, I see a few funny faces, smiling, nodding heads. Okay. What about those of you who say, you know what? All I need is a break. I just need some time off. I need a little bit of vacation. And then once I have that, life is going to be so much different. How many of you come home from vacation and the next day you go to work and it's a disaster? Oh, a few. Okay. Yay, we're getting people who are telling the truth. Okay. Okay, but what about you who have said, you know what, all I need to do is retire. I'm going to retire and it's going to be wonderful. Germanita, you're so awesome. I love you. Happiness can be short-lived when you retire, or so I'm told. Because all of a sudden you got this time on your hands and you're like, what am I going to do? It was supposed to be such fun. I get to sleep in, I get to relax, I get to do what I want when I want. Oh, it's kind of boring. Or so I'm told. You know, life can be such a game. The journey of life keeps going. There is never an off button. Have you found an off button? Because I have not found that off button yet. I wish. Life is supposed to be happy and satisfying, and it is, 2 points. But sometimes you still feel empty. It'll come back. You know what? You're not alone. If I joke about some of these different situations, but I'm sure some of you have been through them. Harder than others. It's been harder to climb that hill, to get past, when are my kids going to ever get out of diapers? When are they going to potty train? That is such a hard time in life. Finding that first job that is awesome and you want to get up and go to work every day. Right? Like, when you have success, the author Carrie Newhoff describes that your life can just end up introducing more problems. Success can make you want more. So you're like, yay, I finally reached, I'm successful. But you know what? Oh, I think I want a little more. So you try for a little more. And then you want to have better, right? Oh, you know what? I'm going to buy this car. This Yaris is going to be so awesome for me. And it's going to be so great. But then I want more. You know what? I'm going to move up to an SUV. It's going to be great. And then I want to have, after better, I want custom made. I want something different. I'm going to get a BMW or a Mercedes. It's going to be perfect. Okay, now I'm not saying anything bad about any of those cars, so please forgive me. I'm not meaning to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just trying to show that you start with success, and slowly you want more, then you want better, then you want different, then you want custom made, and all of that can lead to, guess what? That's it. It leads to despair. Whether it's your car, whether it's your job, whether it's your life, no matter what you're facing, if you keep on that cycle, man, nothing will ever be good enough. Despair is like a life without purpose. It's empty. It's that pit. And emptiness is never a good thing. And when you have despair, it's not that you're ungrateful. And this is the hard part of despair, because it's that guilty feeling that plagues you. You feel like, man, I have all of this. Like, wow. But have I reached a pinnacle? Is this all there is in life? Is there anything more? Well, you're not the first to feel this way. And it's written about in the Bible. Meaningless. Everything's meaningless. See, they faced it so many years ago. That's why it's in the Bible. It's refreshing. Let me remind you. You came to hear, came to church to hear the good news. And just give me a little bit longer. I'm getting there. But we need to go a little bit deeper into this topic to be able to see that there is a light amidst the vortex. There's an answer coming, so just hold on. If we go back to our text, and it kind of looks like it might not show up, but if you have your Bibles, this is a good thing to have and bring to church every week. You can wrestle the pages to Ecclesiastes or on your phones. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and I'm going to skip around a little bit. I'm going to start with verse 3 and go to verse 17. And we're going back to this text because it's, what's the point of life? What is there to live for? And we're going to find out in this book. King Solomon is working through these questions, and he starts with this. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Verse 12. I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Verse 16, I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge, but I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. Here in the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes can seem like we're looking at Solomon's diary. He's writing about life as he experiences it. I don't know if you journal I like to journal and write things down, things that are happening, things I don't understand, maybe truths that I've learned in the Bible. Journaling is a really good thing. If you haven't started it, you should. And bringing your journals with your Bible to church and writing notes down so you can look at it later, really important too. So here we have, he's writing down in his diary, and he sure seems like a grumpy old man, don't you think? He seems so negative. Okay, grumpy old woman. Okay, could be a grumpy old woman too, but I'm just saying. But he has the means as the king of Israel to try everything and to buy anything. He had so much money that it was so piled up that it started to decrease in value because he owned it all. So he has the money to do anything he wants to do, and he undergoes this search of figuring out how to answer the question, what really is the point of life? He has more than enough money, he has ample wisdom, he's very powerful, and he has success. And without getting into details, he's also tried all the fun and pleasure option in life, and he came up short on those too. But if we look back to our text in verse 3 and in verse 9 and in verse 14, oh, it was up there, I thought, maybe not. Underlined was the words under the sun. If you have a pen and you underline in your Bible, underline that, under the sun. This phrase occurs over 25 times in this book, and it's referring back to nihilism. Remember we talked about that earlier? Don't believe in God? It's life lived without God, or another way of saying this is life lived without an eternal perspective. It's where you don't keep eternity in mind. When you live without absolutes, where there's no God, there's no eternity, you're living with no reference to God, and life under the sun is ultimately meaningless. Maybe you're catching my point. I had this beautiful drawing, but that's okay. I will describe it to you. I found it online, and I like to find little things that try to help you understand what my point is. And so I'm assuming it's a little girl because, you know, they take time with their artwork usually, just saying. And on one side, it has this king, and he's got a red shirt on, and he's got blue jeans. Oh, is it coming up? Oh, maybe not. Okay. Well, he's sitting there, and he has a crown on, and he's like this, kind of pouting, right? And he says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, or all is meaningless. There is nothing new under the sun. Well, in Ecclesiastes, it's showing up back there, but it's not up there. So you can pop your head around and see that if you want to. But Ecclesiastes chapter 1, it shows the emptiness of a life lived without an eternal perspective. Okay, so we just read that. Every generation ponders this question. But here is the answer. What if you were to set your sights above the sun? He says there's nothing new under the sun. But if we set our sights above the sun, our perspective might change. So I'm going to challenge you this week to read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's like 12 or 13 chapters, not long. But when you read it, you can underline where it says under the sun, but then think about, but what would it be like if they were thinking about it above the sun? Think with that thought in mind. And if you have a journal, write these points down. Number one, when we feel like we are empty, look to God. You've got to entrust your life to him because life does have meaning with God. When God is in it and we make him the leader, difference in our emptiness state, isn't there? Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. For this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty. But he formed it to be inhabited. And this means that from the very start of the world, where Genesis 1 verse 1 says, wonder if you can catch this, the earth was without form or void. And in some translations, it says empty. The earth was empty. And then God created. He created it with you and I in mind. He made you to enjoy you. So trust that he knows what he's doing. Everything is not meaningless. If you want your life to have meaning, then how better can you do this than to put your trust in him every day with everything? This means that his plan is better than any of my plans. So set your sights above the sun. Number two, remember that the future is in God's hands. The New Bible Commentary suggests that the present is the only time at our disposal. Tomorrow is in God's hands. We know not what it will bring. It's on today that the accent of eternity lies. Does this mean that we shouldn't think about tomorrow? No. But we need to recognize that the future is God's. So we are humble and we submit to him. 1 Peter 1, verse 17 to 21, in the Message, it says, you call out to God for help, and he helps. He's a good father. But don't forget, he's also a responsible father. Your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead and empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb, and this was no afterthought. God always knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of this sacrificed Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust him, that you know you have a future in God. So set your sights above the sun. Number three, live your life with an eternal purpose in mind. We need God in everything. When it comes to eternity, it is Christ's offer of everlasting life that has you in mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he has you in mind, and he has your family in mind. And he has your neighbors and your community. He has your friends in mind. He has your coworkers in mind. He has everyone in mind. So live your life with an eternal purpose in mind. Because everything is meaningless under the sun. Yep, that is true. But when you start looking above the sun, it makes the difference. And in this book on page 191 that we've been studying, it says, if you want to beat emptiness, find a mission that's bigger than you. Uh-oh. Stop making your life all about you. Just saying what it says in the book. A mission that's bigger than me. Set your sights above the sun. Number four, motivate and point people to engage in the mission. Because you know why? It gets you out of bed in the morning. It makes the world a better place. It lets them know that their efforts have made a difference in someone else's life. So you encourage each other in it. Mission, you say, Pastor Nicole. Well, what is our mission? What is our mission? What could my mission be? Well, you're a pastor, so, you know, you got to help people. You got to encourage people. You got to love on people. You got to, you know, preach and bring them to Christ. And yeah, that's your mission. So what could my mission be? Really? It should be obvious. Our mission, not just the pastor. Our mission, not just the board member. Our mission, not just the lay leaders, the volunteers in the church. No. Every single one of us has the mission. Matthew 28 talks about it. We are to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are to go out and bring them in. Look around. You see an empty chair. There's room. There's room for your neighbor. There's room for your friend. There's room for your family. There's room to bring them in. That's our mission. We are to preach the good news. We are to baptize them, and we are to fellowship with them, and we are to disciple them, right? Yes. We are to come alongside and love. This is our mission. Spa Church, if we were to put that up, that's our mission, to reach others, to love others, to tell them the good news. Amen? They need to know about this great eternity that we have in mind with our Father. They need to be in a growing relationship with Jesus, just like you are. And when we pursue this mission, something that's bigger than ourselves, we get more of God. Mm-hmm. You know what, when people come and they volunteer and they teach and they help or they sing worship with the kids upstairs, they leave satisfied because they're like, yes, what a good service today. It was so awesome. I was with the kids and they told me this and this was a funny story. And maybe you led somebody to Jesus. Mission. You know what? This book, Carrie says, the emptiness inside you will go away only when you decide to stop making life all about you. Yeah, because the mission takes over. It's like I said, it gets you out of bed in the morning. You're like, oh, I don't want to be late. I got to get to work because I got to tell them about what's happening at church. You get excited. You get something inside of you that fills that void where the emptiness once was. Set your sights above the sun. I like to write notes to people, and maybe you've gotten a note from me before, and if you haven't, well, tell me your name. I'd love to write you a note. And I like to write them, and if they're people that I know, and I know that they're going through a rough patch, sometimes I will write these words. Keep looking up. Keep looking up. You know what? Don't look down. Don't look at the problem, the circumstances, the healing that needs to take place. Look up. The mission is much greater. God's got you. I have eternity in mind when I say, keep looking up. Set your sights above the sun. Because you know what? It's not just the S-U-N. It's the S-O-N. When you look up, you are looking at the Father. And it's not about yourself. And it's not about anything else that's happened or what's going on in your life. It's about Him. And you bow your heads in prayer. We have time this morning, people. I'm going to ask that the altar workers come and make their way forward, because I just feel that with what we've talked about both last week and this week, that maybe some of you have had some time to reflect about what Pastor Les talked about last week with burnout and depression. And this week now about emptiness. Lord, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, we invite you. There are two good things to being or feeling empty. Listen up. Number one, when you are empty, you acknowledge that you have a need. And you realize that your tank is so low or it's almost dry. You need God. You become desperate. And if that's you this morning, we have people here to pray with you. And whether you are on the board, whether you are a strong volunteer here, whether it's your first Sunday here, if that speaks to you, then I pray you would listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and come forward. Because you know what? We're here for fellowship. We're here to pray. And second, you're looking forward to being filled up again if you're empty. To know the happiness of hope and future and all the great things that God has for you to experience. So your tank is low and you say, I need God. And two, you want to be filled up again because you know when you're filled with God, when you're filled with the mission, you can go. We need to acknowledge this in our weakness. We need Jesus. We can't navigate life and everything without him. We are empty. We need a Savior. And so if you are experiencing this emptiness, I'm going to ask you everyone to stand to their feet right now. And if you are feeling barren or depleted, please come forward for prayer. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about your family. It's time for prayer. It's time to get serious. There's time to go and eat in a few minutes, but right now, it's time for prayer. So come forward.